This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Clouds so swift, the rain won't live. Gate won't close, railings froze. Get your mind off winter time. You ain't going nowhere. Ooh-wee, ride me high. Tomorrow's the day my bride's gonna come. Down in the easy chair.
Hi, Laura Hurwitz here, and welcome to the easy chair. Rosemary Jones is with me today. I'm very excited.
We're here on a spring day, which is rather remarkable.
Oh, I am so incredibly happy. And it's like yesterday was nice. It was pleasant, but there's been a lot of rain, which is kind of, I guess, April.
Yes, true. April showers.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but this is a beautiful day, and we've had a lot of days where the furnace is going on in the basement and making that big blasting noise, and today that won't be happening.
That's nice.
But Rosemary, you have like a really wonderful story to share, and I'm going to let you intro it.
This is a story about my mother who lives in Australia, and of course I go back to visit her regularly, but sometimes things aren't going quite so well, and this was one of those visits. So I'm just going to read this memoir piece called Learning to Dress My Mother. I haven't seen my mother without her clothes on for over 40 years, but here we are. She's not yet dressed, and a visitor from a government agency waits outside the room of her convalescent home door to assess what level of care she may need from now on. We're in what my mother would call a bit of a hurry. I've washed her face with a warm face washer and soap smelling of peaches. I pat her dry. She holds perfectly still, her eyes half closed and expectant, her cheeks soft and smooth for an 85-year-old. I've never done this for her before, but neither of us comments on this altered state of affairs. She has walked back to the bed with a walker, a new contraption, since she fell a few weeks ago and broke two pubic bones. Things have come unravelled. Not so much because of the injury alone, but the combination of that and Alzheimer's. We need to decide what to do next. Not so long ago, she was a historian. Not so long ago, with help, she finished her last piece of writing, having unearthed and researched another significant, unacknowledged Australian woman. So much would she talk about her beloved research subjects. My father used to joke we should set a place at the dinner table for Catherine Helen Spence, a leading South Australian suffragist and writer, and then once she'd been given her dues, a table setting for Mary Lee, likewise a suffragist and social reformer, and Augusta Zaddo, a trade unionist who worked against sweated labour, and on down the line of 19th century women who had significantly shaped Australia's history. She wrote a number of their entries for the Australian Dictionary of Biography, in deft, vivid sentences, bending her head over the word limit at her imperial typewriter, squeezing words out, adding another in, honing the art of concision. For as long as I can remember, my mother has wielded an enviable vocabulary. "I'll just get the dictionary," she'd say during dinner at any hint of dubious word usage or interpretation, and return from the bookshelves in the sitting room with her nose in the blue-bound shorter Oxford. Most days, despite her disease, she can haul up words from the pathways of her eroding frontal cortex and throw them down as if she's playing a canny game of cards. Not that she's ever played cards, not in my memory, apart from a brief encounter during my childhood with Snap. Words have always been her friends. They still are, as she perches in her nightie on the edge of her bed in the nursing home. I find clean knickers. I squat down at her feet and coax one foot into each hole. I start to pull them up. No, we're out of luck. One foot occupies both holes. We start again. Already she's laughing. "Oh, I'm like a child," she says, with a child's delight. Her laugh rings, light little bells, as if she's discovering herself again. I do a better job supervising the entrance of each foot into each hole. Plain Bonds underwear. Cottontails. Her favourite. Mine too. They last for years. But it's not easy hoiking them up when she can barely stand, and I almost topple her over and crash us both onto the bed. Just as I think we're getting somewhere, I realise there's an obstacle. She already has on a pair of knickers. We start again. We're laughing together at how absurd this all is. But we have to hurry. The woman outside is waiting, so it's back to business, and she wriggles off the pair she's wearing and half kicks them away in the most athletic move I've ever seen her execute. Before I can say, "Whee!" and have to stifle more giggles, I snatch them up and throw them in the closet behind me. I'll worry about them later. This time we're a little faster, and the second pair goes on without a hitch. I pull her nightgown up over her head. Everything about her has shrunk. Everything is generally, well, less exuberant. Her skin drapes like wax. I'm about to finish clothing her when I nearly forget her petticoat. She'd feel naked without it. Just in time, she reminds me. Then a blouse, a new but familiar flowery cotton print, and a grey winter skirt. As I ease the skirt on and pull up the side zipper, I apologise for being so clumsy. "That's all right, dear. You weren't brought up to be a handmaiden," she says. Her stockings should come next. But there's a problem. Her suspender belt. Most women her age traded them in for pantyhose decades ago. But I am aware hers is a de rigueur item, waiting patiently in the drawer, the elastic nicely perished, and there's no time to tackle the art of attaching a stocking to the little metal holder-uppers or whatever those dangling attachments are called. She would know. Instead, I've purchased a pair of black opaque stay-ups in the smallest size available, and I hope she won't ask me why she's not wearing her usual foundation garment. Once she wore clear stockings with Salvatore Ferragamo flats, and once a pair of low-heeled gold kid stilettos, each pointed toe adorned with a sparkling diamante clasp, the most beautiful shoes I've ever seen. I slide the new blacks up her legs, over a bandaged skin infection that won't heal, and over her knees. She doesn't complain. I lead her to an armchair, walking crab-like half a step ahead of her walker, and help her to swivel around so she lands safely in the seat. No time to clean her teeth. We should have done that before. I hand her a cardigan. She's cold. I hand her another. And there she is, composed, beautiful, restored to me. "Thank you, dear," she says. I brush her silver hair, easing the bristles over her scalp. Anything not to hurt her. "Now, who's this?" she asks as the visitor enters, ready for business to do whatever is required of her. Compliant, but still sharp. Handmaiden. How did she retrieve this word in particular? In the short time we have left, I realise I am happy to learn the art of being a handmaiden, to be lighter on my feet, quicker on the uptake. And there's another thing. A handmaiden should always make the maiden laugh.
Okay, I was crying a little bit. I admit.
It's sort of touching because we all have places in our hearts for our parents that are special. And whatever the ups and downs that may have been, when you come to this part of their lives, it's more difficult than you might think.
It is, and yet you wrote with such grace. I think accessing that place where you can laugh and find joy, where you're both giggling together and falling on the bed, that's not an easy thing.
No, well, that's her nature intersecting with my nature, I think, and her incredible capacity to make the most of things.
So. Do you think you're very similar to her? I mean, I think I didn't know that she was a historian. I mean, this is very interesting to me because I just didn't know that about
No. Well,
that's interesting.
Yes. So. Yes.
Are you like your mom?
I wish I were more like her and more patient and calmer. And that would be very nice, but I'm not all the time. I can be, but then...
Well, it sounds like this is part different. Of the learning curve, exactly. Learning to be a handmaiden.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
I know that there's like a school of thought that like everyone you meet is a teacher, and certainly your parents are teachers when you're young, but then they're a different kind of teacher when they're older and you
very
care
true.
For them.
Yes,
so
yes.
It just seems like she hasn't stopped teaching you.
No, that's true.
Which is really...
That's a very nice way of putting it.
Well, it's just so beautiful, and there are just so many times... I mean, I remember when my mom was in her final days, she kind of reverted back to this almost childlike state, and she did not have Alzheimer's, but she was on palliative care, she was just kind of going in and out of consciousness, but she was in almost a fetal position, and she seemed like she took a great deal of comfort just being held by people, like a baby. And I feel like there is this kind of like, you know, you revert a little.
But there's also this sort of an innocence about my mother, I think, that she can laugh about things that just are sometimes very simple and silly. And of course, we'd never been in this situation of me trying to put these... her Bond's cottontails on her at all before, and so it was hilarious, and she knew that she'd never been in that situation either. I mean, we were just trying to battle the clock to perform these maneuvers, which are really complicated when you break them down. Maneuver by maneuver, much more complicated than you originally may think.
Absolutely. When you got to the garters, I think that's what those little dangly things are called. Because my mom used to wear a girdle and not pantyhose. I think maybe that's what they're called.
No, I don't know. No, maybe, the metal bit.
They're metal, and then you pull the stocking up and you clasp it in.
Yes, but the garter is the elastic bit.
Oh, okay.
I don't
so
know
this
what
is
that
like
little,
oh yeah,
that
okay.
metal contraption. There must be a name for it.
Well, I like dangly bit.
I like
that works
bit.
For me.
Yeah.
But it's funny when I was hearing that scene, the surreality of it came through. But not any horror or aversion, nothing but the, wow, isn't this new and interesting?
Well, it could have been a grim situation, and in some ways it was, but also we managed to find this little oasis together. So
I think that says a lot about you. It says a lot about your mom. It says a lot about your writing ability, because that was an incredibly beautiful piece. Did this appear anywhere?
Yes, it did. I meant to say it was in the Cossack Review in 2015, but I can't remember the actual volume of it.
And is that something people can still acquire?
I did try to get some more copies, and they didn't ever come through. So it's worthwhile, and I was going to check again before I came today to see if there are any more available, because I would actually like another couple of copies.
And how do you spell that?
As in a Russian Cossack.
Oh, Cossack. And is it a U.S. publication?
Yes,
is it,
it's a U.S. publication. Okay, I can't remember which state.
Cossack, that's who my my husband's, I guess, is like some of his ancestors were running from.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. I think there are a number of people who were running from Cossacks who have ended up in Connecticut.
But it's nice they've got a review.
Yeah, that's
it
right.
Like it's a very gentle, good place.
Yeah, quite.
Rosemary, that was like, I don't know, I'm having one of these days. Things have been like a little bit chaotic in my life, and I know, you know, your life has had its... bits of chaos thrown in and out of it. This was a very calming, centering piece, even though it's about change and difficulty. It's about grace and light, humor, wisdom, being a handmaiden, learning that art.
We should all go to handmaiden school.
I think Margaret Atwood would approve. Well, thank you so much for cheering up my day, my week, all that stuff. Thank you for being here with your cup of tea on this beautiful beginning of spring day.
Thank you, Laura. It's a pleasure.
Well, this was the best, and you have some big news, but we'll, next time you're on, we'll talk about the big news.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah, because okay. It's germinating, but okay. it's coming up. It is. So this is Laura Hurwitz from The Easy Chair. See you next week. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.